first version of Child is this.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. And welcome to St. John Lutheran Church on this, the first Sunday after Christmas, continuing on in the festive season of our Lord's birth and all the days that do follow. We do remember a special event, though, that did happen not too long after the birth of Christ, and that is the Feast of the Holy Innocents. That'll be talked about in the gospel reading and in the sermon here this morning as part of the Christmas octave going into the celebration of Epiphany. If you are a guest or visiting with us here this morning, we are especially glad you are here, along with all of our members alike. Just a reminder to fill out the attendance card you can find in your pews. Ushers will collect them midway through the service. Order of service for this morning, as it is the fourth Sunday of the month, is Divine Service Setting 4, beginning on page 203 within our hymnal. And we sing now our first hymn, 387, Joy to the World. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
When Israel was a child, I loved him, and I out of Egypt, I called my son. Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Thus says the Lord, keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord, and your children shall come back to their own country. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son.
Thank you.
Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, our Maker and Redeemer, you wonderfully created us, and in the incarnation of your Son, yet more wondrously restored our human nature. Grant that we may ever be alive in him who made himself to be like us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday after Christmas is from Isaiah chapter 63. I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness to the house of Israel, that he has granted them according to his compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, "Surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely." And he became their Savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he turned to be their enemy and himself fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put in the midst of them his Holy Spirit, who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them to make for himself an everlasting name, who led them through the depths? Like a horse in the desert, they did not stumble. Like livestock that go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So you led your people to make for yourself a glorious name. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Galatians chapter 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when the wise men had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, and that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Together we confess the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We're seated now as the hymn of the day is sung.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Have you had enough of Christmas yet? I mean, the decorations, the parties, the gifts, the food, the celebrations. Perhaps you've already hit the stores and made the returns you needed from those gifts that you received. You may be ready for the new year to begin, to implement your resolutions for a new year. It is a truly joyous season for young and old alike, and we do our best to abide by the angel's words. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And of course, we do celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus, for he alone is the one who sets us free from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil to be the people of God here in time and there in eternity. And while so much goes into the festive nature of this season, hard truths of life remain. As much as we wish it were so, a pause button does not exist for this human life. Emergency rooms remained opened and used Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Heating units in homes and in cars still fail, the worst of times. The emptiness of the holidays without dear loved ones is still felt. Heartache and loneliness are not erased by the joys of Christmas. In fact, the celebration of Christmas can make some of these problems even worse, or at least appear to be so. And of course, there are still those present in the world, a majority of the world's population, who do not celebrate Christmas, at least not for the true reason. It is merely another day for many of them. And Christmas actually can impede their normal way of life. King Herod was one such man who did not care at all for the celebration of Christmas, the first Christmas, that is. For that first Christmas morning for King Herod was just like all the other mornings of the year. He did not even know anything about the birth of Jesus until several months later, when he did find out. He was truly troubled to his core. For Herod was a paranoid old king. He was not the true king of Israel. He was a puppet king under the governing authority of the Holy Roman Empire, not called holy yet at that time. And on top of that, as Herod himself well knew, he was not a right descendant of the great King David. And so Herod legitimately feared a coup each and every day of his life, an overthrow of his power, an ending to his reign and his life. He even had his own sons killed as a result of his fear that they would get him first. Then came Magi. Wise men from the east, looking for the one who had been born new king of the Jews. Of course, this troubled all of Jerusalem as well. For if Herod himself was troubled, then everyone was troubled, because everyone would suffer under Herod. So Herod went to work, trying to figure out just exactly who this baby king was. He gleaned from the Magi as much as he could exactly when the star had first appeared. That would give him an idea of the birthday of this child and the age of the child in the present day. Herod then consulted with his religious experts, who told him that Bethlehem, the home of King David, was the prophesied location of the king's birth. So Herod sent the Magi down to Bethlehem, just a couple of hours' walk away from the holy city. The Magi then were told by Herod, "Come back to me, report exactly where this child is." Of course, all under the guise of Herod's own desire to go and worship this new king. God sent the star to reappear to the Magi, leading them to the exact location of Jesus. Already, according to Luke's gospel, Joseph and Mary had returned to Nazareth 40 days after Jesus' birth. So Nazareth was likely the location of Jesus, where the star was leading the Magi. But even Herod, in his paranoia, does not seem to have the Magi followed. He trusted that they would return to him. Why would they not, after all? And apparently they would have done exactly that if they were not told by God in a dream, warned by him not to go back to Herod. Not long after, an angel of the Lord told Joseph in a dream himself that Herod was about to hunt for Jesus, search him out in order to destroy him. Joseph was told specifically, go down to Egypt, wait there until another angel would come and tell him it was safe to go home. Realizing after several days that he had been fooled by the Magi and that those Magi were not going to return to him, Herod was enraged, furious. So in a fit of rage, fueled by his own paranoia, he authorized the slaughter of innocents. All those baby boys under the age of 2. Down in Bethlehem, but as Matthew says, in all the surrounding region, even reaching to the borders of his rule. Yes, dozens, if not hundreds, of innocent baby boys were brutally killed in an attempt to snuff out the one born king of the Jews. With this tragedy then finding similarities to those baby boys killed in Egypt, when Moses was a newborn. This is the day referred to in the church year, December 28th, as the Day of the Holy Innocents. Great chaos followed that very first Christmas day. Now, it was joyful for Mary and for Joseph, for those shepherds who came in and visited the baby Jesus. For the birth of the Lord Jesus was amazing. For Simeon, who got to hold the salvation of the world in his own hands on that 40th day after his birth in the temple. But the birth of Christ brought the deaths of innocent babies, even the best of deeds, yet the worst of consequences in a broken and sinful world. Rejoicing parents were devastated and terrified as the officials broke into their homes to rob them of their pride and joys. Joseph and Mary would have known that panic too, for no one ever wants to be targeted for anything that is evil or bad, and no one wants the crosshairs on their beloved children. Joseph and Mary had trusted in God before. They were granted faith to do so again. God preserved the baby Jesus, but at the cost of so many others. Jesus himself would later teach that he did not come into the world to bring peace, but a sword. He knew that his work of bringing in the reign of God, the rule of love, mercy, and forgiveness into the realm of Satan, the enemy of God, that would cause great division. The gospel of Jesus, that God saves us by his grace alone, through faith alone, that is a direct assault on the sinful natures of all of us. Ever since the fall into sin, each of us has believed ourselves to be the makers of our own lives, of our own futures. And once we are old enough to understand, we then venture out into the world on our own as the world itself guides us and teaches us and prepares us to do, to be independent as much as possible. But that is not the way of God. This was never his intention for his creatures. The false, misleading dream of sin is that we can save ourselves or make our lives better for ourselves. But we have no power to do so. The Midas touch for sinners has us turning everything to death and destruction. Only God himself could possibly be the Savior of all mankind, the one to come and rescue us, to pull us out of this valley of sadness, of sorrow, of death, as he alone could save his son from Herod's wrath. That is what the Lord Jesus has come here to do. He has lived perfectly his whole life for us. He became our perfect substitute, giving up his own life upon the cross for us. Jesus is the full propitiation for all of our sins, but not just for our sins, but the sins of the whole world. It's only natural for sin, for death, for the devil, our own sinful natures to fight back, for they are sorely under attack by Almighty God in his grace. Luther says, regarding the daily drowning of the old Adam within us, the old Adam is a good swimmer. Satan will not give up until he has been bound forever in the abyss of hell. And so sin and death will continue to create guilt and shame, even in God's redeemed people, bringing ruin and destruction to lives and livelihoods. It was seen directly at the birth of Jesus. It continued on throughout his ministry. It presses on even today. St. John wrote in his first epistle, the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. And Jesus said, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Yes, the first Christmas caused great chaos in this world. And that is good. For this is a world of sin and of death. Sinners are comfortable in their sin. They need to know that God has come here, become a man like us, so that he could become sin for us. Sin and death. Separation from God in his glory and his grace forever is so serious to God that he has seen fit to take action himself for us, for our salvation. The celebration of Christmas, the continuing presence of the true gospel in Christianity, does bring chaos in this sin-sick world. Where there is this chaos, there is the breaking down of sin's grip on humanity. And the opportunity is certainly present for the gospel to create faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one who does bring the sword and division, which is salvation itself, to this world of sin and of death. And on the last day, you will know chaos no more, but only the joy of Christ, the Word made flesh, the Word made man, the Word crucified and resurrected for you. Amen. The peace that does pass all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In the beginning you created all things by your word, and in the fullness of time your word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Let your word made flesh dwell richly among us, that faithfully eating his body and drinking his blood, we may receive the fullness of your grace and truth in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. We stand to sing the post-communion hymn. Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. You may be seated. As mentioned in our prayers, our sister in Christ, Virginia Kruger, was called to the Church Triumphant this past Tuesday morning. We will have a service for her tomorrow here at St. John, 11 o'clock here in the sanctuary. 10 o'clock will be a visitation just prior to that service, so all are invited to join us for that. This coming Wednesday night at 7:15 will be our New Year's Eve service, so of course you're invited to join us for that as well, to end one year and begin the new in the Word and in the name of our Lord. Poinsettias are used to decorate for Christmas as the celebration continues, but the day has come and gone. You're welcome to take the poinsettias with you back to your homes. Even if you did not submit a form, that's okay. You're welcome to take them with you to find a good home with you back in your place of dwelling. Lastly, Lifelight Bible class does resume in just a few weeks. So if you'd like to sign up for that, they're continuing the Gospel of John. The signups are on the table in the overflow, and materials are there as well. You can join us for Bible class down in the fellowship hall this morning. Also, Sunday school will take place with an opening here in the sanctuary. Coffee and donuts, of course, available for fellowship purposes in the fellowship hall as well. We go forth in peace and in the name of the Lord.